Good morning, everyone. What is that shining object outside, Nate Halushchak? What is that? Is that a sun? Do we actually have sunshine in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania? Yes, we do. Good morning, everyone. Nate, how are you?
Doing great, Bob.
Good. Yeah, well, it's a much better looking day after all the rain we've had and flooding, and hope everybody was safe out there dealing with some of the roadways that got flooded and some of the other situations going on because of all this inclement weather. But now it looks like we're heading in the other direction, finally. So good morning and welcome into our program. Up until 1 o'clock, it's 412-928-9370. That's also the number of the fan text line, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say, there's never a fee unless they get money for you. Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them, southhillskia.net. Our show brought to you by number one Cochran. Drive in style, go one better. Shop 24/7 with Expressway at cochran.com. PNC Bank, make today the day. Ireland Contracting, home of the nightly sports call. Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg. Come see what everyone's talking about. And Shenderovich, and Fishman, where they are sponsoring a big tournament for It's About the Warriors Foundation coming up in May. Check out their site or It's About the Warrior Foundation to get more information, because they keep all the money here dealing with local veterans. Brandon Rumbaugh is one of those guys. He's a two-time amputee, sacrificed for this country. Have the utmost respect for what he did and what he gave for this country, which I think needs to give back to him. And this is one way of doing, at least from our point of view. So check out that event coming up in May. In the meantime, we're here talking about all the things happening in sports. And I also want to give a shout out to Mel and Tianda Blunt. They did their annual All-Star Celebrity Roast last night. Bill Cowher was a good sport, a little bit of a punching bag, took a lot of stuff, but he dished it back out at the end, which is pretty cool. I had the honor of introducing all the players, so many Hall of Famers there, and it was a really fun night. But most importantly, he does great work with young kids, the youth of this area down at his youth home in Washington County. And he makes people understand the responsibilities in life, the respect that comes with the situation you are in, making better choices, becoming better people. And he has really done a great job. And there were some kids there who are shining examples of the good work being done by Mel Blunt. So congrats to Mel and Tianda. In the meantime, the number here is 412-928-9370. Busy, busy day coming up today. We have a big one tonight at PPG Paints Arena. And that's, of course, between the Pittsburgh Penguins and the Boston Bruins. And Boston has a lot to play for, by the way. Three games left in this regular season for the Penguins, who got a big win the other night against Detroit. I didn't like the fact that they gave a point away with two late goals, blowing a 5-3 lead, making it 5-5. And then Erik Karlsson, who was one of the guys who was victimized a few times in those two goals that Detroit scored, he got the game winner in overtime as he blasted one by Alex Lyon. So they got a point, the Detroit, so they're still in this. If you look at the standings right now, going with three games left, third place right now is the Islanders with 89 points. The Penguins are three behind them with a chance to still get to that spot. The wild card has the Penguins as the second wild card behind Tampa at 86. Hot on their heels, the Capitals, Red Wings, and Philadelphia Flyers all with 85. The Caps and Red Wings have three games left. The Flyers have two games left. Today, the Islanders and Rangers go at it. Now, the Islanders just beat them the other night on Long Island. Tonight, it's in Madison Square Garden, actually this afternoon at 12:20. The Rangers right now have the number one seed in the Eastern Conference, barely over Carolina, 110 points to 109. So they should be motivated. They've lost two in a row. The Islanders, of course, want to win that game just because it's a heated rivalry. Then Philadelphia and Florida still not out of this when it comes to the President's Trophy, if you want to win that and try to buck the odds. But they're at 107, 106 respectively. So tonight, Boston has plenty to play for as well. It is a tough matchup for the Penguins, and you wonder how many points it will take for them to secure one of these two playoff spots. Rounding it out today, Detroit will be at Toronto. Never easy, but Detroit played well, I thought. They were, in my opinion, the better team against the Penguins, but their goaltender let them down at times. Tampa Bay, Washington. Washington lost one the other day. They're just up and down. I never know what to expect from them. New Jersey, Philly. Philly got a big win at the Rangers the other night, but too little too late. They had lost eight in a row. So Penguins pretty much control their own destiny. Win out, you're in. If not, then we'll see. Your take on what's going on. Who do you think will be in goal tonight? I got to believe, Nate, that it's going to be Tristan Jarry tonight, only because Nedeljkovic is on a long run. He's played well, no question about it. But I also think that he'd like to get Jarry involved here before they get, if they do get into the playoffs. You know, he's been sitting for about 12 days now. He hasn't played anything. And he's still the guy they doubled down on, brought in, and signed long-term. So would you expect Nedeljkovic or Jarry tonight?
You know, honestly, Nedeljkovic has looked good, but he's been overworked. And I think, like, I think what Tyler Kennedy said, you got to get him a chance to get out there, and you don't want his first action to be in the playoffs, especially since he's been – it's not like he's been solid in the playoffs in the past. I mean, he made a mistake that lost him a playoff series. So I'd like to get him some on ice as much as possible.
Yeah, and, you know, they're at home. This is a game that obviously they want to get points. But at some point, Jarry's got to play a game here in the next. Otherwise, if something happens and they get Nedeljkovic or he doesn't play as well down the stretch, you want some playing time going into this. So I would expect this would be the game, but maybe not. They got Nashville here on Monday night, and then they end with that big game against the Islanders next Wednesday night. So we're going right down to the stretch. It would be great to see some playoff hockey, which has been missing here. Last year, of course, they missed the playoffs. So they don't want to do that again. The other stuff going on is related to the Pirates I want to get into. I'm sure Donnie football/baseball got into this morning. Pirates, Bailey Falter. This goes to show you how people tend to overreact to things. One start, people wanted to get Bailey Falter out of the rotation. And listen, I understand that long-term he isn't one of the guys that will eventually be in there. There are people down on the farm who are going to come up and move everything around, most notably Paul Skeens. We'll talk about him in just 1 minute. But Falter's have battled back with two really good starts. And, you know, it's early. Same thing's true of David Bednar. You know, yeah, he blew three saves. People panicked about him. But, you know, Derek Shelton on his show with Joe this week pretty much said, we're not shying away from him. He's coming. And last night he did. He had a good ninth inning to get the final three outs of that game as the Pirates beat the Philadelphia Phillies. Go at it again today at 3:10 our coverage time here on 93.7. The Fan with Marco Gonzalez on the hill. And the two veteran lefties, Gonzalez and Martin Perez, have been very good for the Pirates, and hopefully that will continue. They're 10-4 in the Central Division. One problem there is Andrew McCutchen is just not swinging a good bat, off to a very slow start. Ever since mid last year, Bob Smyzik tweeted something out about his 197 average over the course of several months now. And, you know, he's one home run shy of that 300 mark, but he's not swinging a good bat. Neither is Henry Davis. But I'll be patient using my same theory that I used with Falter and Bednar. I'm not going to panic on 14 games here. He is catching. He's doing a good job defensively, which I think a lot of people didn't think he'd even get that opportunity. The bat will come around, I think. But, you know, they need, obviously, those kind of young guys to step up and start hitting, for sure. They've scored in clumps in the first couple of games, and then all of a sudden it's been kind of pick or choose when it comes to the offense that they're getting. Now on to Paul Skeens, who did it again last night. Boy, was you talk about dominant. I don't know if that even gives it enough credibility, that word dominant. Paul Skeens now in three starts, and that includes 3 1/3 last night, 9 1/3 innings, Nate, 4 hits, no runs, 2 walks, 19 strikeouts in 9. I mean, think about that. You know, you're going back to who had the 20 strikeout game. A few pitchers have.
Kerry Wood.
Yeah, from Chicago. And he was he the last guy to do that? He might be. I don't.
He might have been. I'll take a look.
But anyway, 19 strikeouts. So you know he's coming up here at some point. They're waiting for the opportunity to, navigate through that contract stuff and the extra year involved. But man, when he gets up, it's going to be fun to watch. And Jared Jones continues to do really good stuff himself. And he did not. You know, he was disappointed in himself that he gave up a home run the other night. Two pad pitches actually. But man. When you see these two together, it has to give you a little optimistic vibe concerning the Pittsburgh Pirates and their future. All right, the other thing is going on is the Masters. And listen, yesterday was one of the worst weather days. They got rain the first day, then it went away. Yesterday were winds that were gusting at 50 miles an hour, and it really was taking a toll on so many big golfers. Names that you wouldn't have expected to be cut were cut. Justin Thomas continues to just be an enigma to me. This is the way he ended yesterday. It was just indicative of what he's gone through lately. Double bogey, double bogey, bogey, double bogey. That's how you eliminate yourself from a golf tournament. So obviously he didn't make the cut, but listen to other people who didn't make the cut. Tyrrell Hatton, Brooks Koepka, Patrick Cantlay, Will Zalatoris. There are a lot of guys, big names on here. Justin Thomas, as I said, Wyndham Clark. Guess who did make the cut? Neil Shipley from Central Catholic High School. Congrats to him and his family. That's awesome. Tiger Woods, 24 made in a row now. And, you know, people, I was one of them. I wondered, could he even walk here, especially knowing that he had to come back the second day and play basically 24 holes with a short turnaround, 3 hours of sleep, given all his medical problems that he's had with his back, his knees, and his ankle. But, man, he's right there. He's going to make the – he did make the cut, and he'll be playing today. I guess the bottom line, you should never underestimate Tiger Woods. He had only played 24 holes all season long, and he comes into this thing, and he makes the cut and beats some bigger names.
I can remember a show that we had on this – you had a show on this radio station maybe even 2 years ago where most of it was, is Tiger Woods ever going to play competitive golf again? I can remember you discussing that, and that was years ago. So to see him out there now is pretty impressive.
You know, it kind of reminds me of Tom Brady. Remember when Tom Brady, there was a Monday night game against Kansas City, I think.
Yeah, and they
people
called
were saying,
the
oh, era. That's it. The game has passed him by. And then how many years later, he's still operating and wins another Super Bowl. So with the greats, you never know. They know how to dig deep. They know how to do things. And, man, Tiger just continues to defy the odds, I think. Another guy who's really struggling is Ricky Fowler. I thought he got his game back. He didn't do that. So this is going to be a very fascinating tournament today and tomorrow. This is moving day. I just tweeted pin locations if you're interested in looking at those, because I think it's important to know where some of these pins are on moving day. But Bryson DeChambeau, Scottie Scheffler, and Max Homa. Scheffler's one of those guys who make it very difficult to bet on this game because you know he's always there and you would expect him to win. So you don't get very good odds on this. And in one of the Masters pools that I'm in, you have to pick elite guys and then different categories. Everyone picks Scheffler. So it's not like if you pick him and he doesn't do well, you're kind of screwed yourself. But if he does, everyone picked him. So you really don't gain on anyone. Scheffler is so good. And he's got a new putter. The man is just off the tee, regardless of his footwork, which is just mind-boggling to me how he can hit the ball with his feet moving all over the place like Fred Astaire. And yet, he's 6 under par. DeChambeau came on strong. He shot 7 under the first day, navigated a +1 yesterday. Homa with a -6. So three of them are tied for the lead. And to show you how tough it was yesterday, okay, on Thursday when the weather was bad, Nate, collectively, the entire 89 golfers, if you put their scores together, you got a +76, okay? Yesterday, combined golf scores, 325 over par. So the first day was 76 over par. The second day was 325 over par. That pretty much sums up what yesterday was like. Only one round in the 60s. Man, if you like drama, you should get it the next couple of days on CBS. And KDK will have all that for you. So I'm looking forward to what should be a very interesting game going on tonight. Not just with the Penguins, the Pirates, but also the Masters Day 3. So we'll see Neil Shipley, and he's going to be right there. I believe he's playing with Patrick Cantlay today. So that's a 12:15 start, and watch him play. I mean, he's a grinder. He's a guy who really believes in his swing and his ability to play golf, even on that golf course for the very first time. So it's good to see stuff like that. But again, the difference in scoring yesterday was ridiculous. So many things happened to people that you would never expect it to happen to. 412-928-9370. So I want to hear from you. Give us a call. We'll talk about this. We'll talk about the Penguins, of course, with this big game coming up. And also, we're getting closer to the NFL draft. A lot of people have takes about what they may expect to see. I'm going to be shocked if they don't take an offensive lineman, quite simply, in the first round. I don't think there's any other choice they can make. There are a lot of wide receivers going on the list. You can pick them at some point. But when it comes to offensive line, you still need a center and you still need a tackle, and you got to figure out some things on that line. Last year they did it. They moved up Broderick Jones. Could they do that again? Could they move up and get another one? Or do they have to? Will it fall to them? So I think it's going to be very interesting to see. I want to remind you, we have a special coming up on KDKA on Saturday night to recap the first 2 days and almost the third day of action with the Pittsburgh Steelers and what they're going to be able to do in this draft. It's going to be fascinating because two new quarterbacks, a lot of people are excited about all of this. We'll see what it means, but you know, regardless how good you are a quarterback, you better have a strong offensive line, especially if they're going to pound the ball the way Arthur Smith wants to pound it and the way they have, and you still need that element. And there's nothing wrong with loading up on both the offensive and defensive lines, and I realize they have a lot of other positions of need. All right, 412-928-9370 is the number. Coming up later, we'll have the weather, which is improving. If you look out your window, that's good to see. We'll talk to you next. The lines are open, so hit me up here on the Bob Pompeiani Show, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Welcome back. It's 412-928-9370. Call 412-928-9370, and let's talk about whatever you'd like to talk about here on the Bob Pompiani Show, which is brought to you by PNC Bank, Number One Cochrane, Ireland Contracting, Iron Rock Tap House, and Shenderovich, Shenderovich, and Fishman. Bert is first on the docket. Hey, Bert, how are you this morning?
Hi, Bob. Good, thanks. How are you?
Great. Sunny. Sun's out. Let's
go. Glad to hear it. Yeah, here's my take on the draft, Bob. I like Jones, Broderick Jones, at right tackle. He's a pancake maker, but they plan to move him to left tackle. So that being the case, I think they can get themselves a serviceable right tackle as low as the third round, maybe even the fourth round. So for me, it comes down to, do they like either of the centers, Graham Barton or Powers Johnson, or maybe a guy like Rook Araujo, who, if you look at this guy, he's moving up the draft board. This is a guy who can maybe be a star for them on the defensive line, and that's hard to find in the 3-4 defense. So, I mean, unless you really like those centers, I might even go with Araujo in the first round. But for me right now, the pick is Graham Barton from Duke. I think he's the safest pick, and he's very versatile.
The one thing we don't know, Bert, is how things are going to, you know, work that day, because all it takes is a couple of moves that you don't expect to throw off the entire first round. But I will say this. I still look at Broderick Jones as a left tackle. I think that's the more important of the two tackle positions. If you're at the right tackle, Nate and I were just talking about this, you're more of a run-blocking kind of dude. I think they, if they switch Broderick Jones, the emphasis for a tackle in the first round, I think, lessens. You still need one, but you can pick one up later. They still need to figure out what they're going to do at center. I'm just concerned about the fact that, you know, at this point, that's going to be the biggest question for me. You can tell me all about the quarterbacks, but they've been sacked a lot over the last 2 years combined. The last thing you want is to get into that routine. And if you're going to be a strong run game, you're going to need guys up front. And right now, that's a cupboard that's somewhat empty, and I think they need to address it.
Yeah, they seem to think Barton can play center. I mean, if he can't play center, then obviously you have to get one. But I like him. I think he's a safe pick. High floor, high ceiling, they say.
Yeah. No, we'll see. It's going to be fun to watch. But thank you for the call, Bert. Appreciate that. Have a good
Saturday.
Bob. Yep, anytime. One NBA note I want to throw out, just because I'm interested in this. And if you're interested in great athletic play, the NBA is for you. I know a lot of people have skeptical ideas about their traveling, about they don't play defense, but they do. They force offense, which I love. Right now, we haven't seen this in 54 years. The top three teams in the Western Conference are all tied with one game left, right? Oklahoma City is a team that I've been talking about all year, and I love their young players. Chet Holmgren, who came out of Gonzaga, is just a superstar. With Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, those guys together are terrific, and they got depth beyond that. They're at 56-25. So are the Timberwolves. So are the Nuggets. Right now, based on tiebreakers, it would see that OKC is going to end up winning that if they all three went out, and they all should. It's pretty amazing that this Western Conference is so logjammed. The Lakers and the Warriors are down in the play-in game area. That goes to show you how much talent there is. I think it's fascinating, and I know a lot of people don't want to give it a try, but if I were you, I would for a little bit. Just to me, it's as fascinating as the NHL playoffs, which I still think are the most entertaining form of sports entertainment you can get. When it goes late in the games and overtime, every little shot can change. And, man, it's that's why the Penguins got to get in, just because we haven't had that, and it occupies time, conversation, and everything else. Let's go out to Noah in Aliquippa, who joins us right now on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. What's up, Noah?
Bob, how you doing today, my
friend?
Good.
What's going on?
Hey, I just want to touch on a few things. You were bringing up the NBA and how exciting it's gotten. And I think the play-in tournament is a huge part and a huge aspect to that. And I'm a little bit disappointed in the NHL playoff format. I think they should go back to 1-8. I think seeing how a top team has to play someone that really isn't at the bottom. What's your opinion on the NHL playoff format? Do you think it should go back to 1-8? Do you think it's good where it is?
Well, I'm actually with you. I like 1-8. I do. Some people want to go 1-16 and mix them all up. You know, Western, Eastern, put them together, which I think is too radical for them.
Yeah, but I think
the only thing I don't like about divisions is that you end up with two versus three right off the bat, and those are normally two very good teams. Like, for example, in the Atlantic Division, right off the bat, you're going to have the Florida Panthers and Toronto. Now, you know, if you're going to go long, you're probably going to have to face these teams one way or the other. But I'd rather them because their point totals are right up there with the elite status of the NHL. They're going to go headbanging, just like the Penguins and Capitals did for so many years. You know,
yeah.
I think I'd rather wait on those matchups, but that's just me. I would love to see them try. You know, the NFL has done this one-year trial stuff. They're going to do it with a kickoff game this year again, taking something from the XFL and see if it works. And if it doesn't, you don't do it. But I'd like to see the NHL try a play-in game like the NBA. I think that would be just must-see TV, and it will give a boost to your television ratings, I think.
Yeah, it's just like the same thing with the wild card game. Like, I think the MLB, when they took that away, when it was just one game, I think that's what made the MLB playoffs exciting. And now they have the series. I think the one game and in, I think that makes it, it makes for great conversation, like you said, and it makes for excitement within your city, because it's one game and it decides everything. And when we had the 2013 blackout here in Pittsburgh with the one game and Cueto dropping the ball, the city was never buzzing more. It was absolutely insane. It was the city was buzzing, and I think we're going to have that again in Pittsburgh. And just one more thought before I go. Do you think the Cuban Missile, Aroldis Chapman, do you think he should move to the closer? Do you like Bednar staying there? I mean, I think we have so many options here that we can mix and match, because Chapman has that experience as the closer. Bob, thanks so much. I tweeted you the other day. I wanted to know if you wanted to do an hour show sometime with me talking about just the Buccos. Let me know.
Well, that would be beyond my control, but it would be fun. You seem like you're very knowledgeable about this, Noah, so I appreciate the call. Thanks. We'll see what we can do. But with regard to Chapman, I like Bednar as the closer. Chapman, I mean, an 8-9 situation, sometimes you may reverse it based on, you know, lineups you have and lefties coming up in the game. You know, there's always that possibility. But I think it's good to have what you have. And I think this bullpen still is going to be a strength. They've had some moments where it hasn't worked out that way, but they got some good young talent there. If their starters can do what they've been doing, and they've been doing well here, this team should win a lot of games. I don't think there's any question about that. But I'd keep Bednar in where he is. I'm glad Shelton stuck with him. Man, you can't panic a week into the season. You just can't. If you're a manager, you got to believe in your guys. Yeah, there's going to be ups and downs. And yeah, maybe there's a time to tweak something and move somebody around. But 10 games into the season was not that time for me. 412-928-9370 was going down to Jacksonville, Florida. We got Mr. Mike on the line. What's up, Mike?
Hey, good morning. How you doing, Bob?
Good. How are you?
Real good. I was just listening to your previous conversation about the draft. What if, I mean, let's just say for giggles and grins, the left tackle from Penn State falls to him at 20.
It would just depend on what they, you know, how they have their draft board and the people that they think will help them sooner rather than later. He could. It might. Again, I think tackle is still the number one position. So if that would happen, it would certainly pique my curiosity.
The reason why I say that, because, I mean, what scares me about Roderick Jones moving back over to left tackle, when Dan Moore got hurt last year, wasn't it Jones who went in?
Mm-hmm.
And then when Dan Moore got healthy again, was he moved to right tackle?
Yeah, well, Dan Moore's been one of those guys who, you know, has bucked the odds in terms of what people think of him. So, but he's still not, you know, the guy that I would, if there's an upgrade to be made there, I make it. But yeah, there's versatility when injury becomes an issue. I'm still a big fan of offensive line strength. I think any team that does well in the NFL has to, first and foremost, have depth on both sides of the line. That's where it starts with me. The playmakers can make plays if you give them time to make plays.
Which I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. But like I was saying, Roderick Jones didn't beat out Dan Moore last year for that left tackle spot. It makes you think he's going to beat him out this year.
Well, he was strong down the stretch. I don't have any problem with him being the man. I think the more he played, the better he got. He has bigger upside. I always like bigger upside.
All right, who has the more bigger upside? I'm sorry.
You're talking about those two?
Right.
Well, Broderick Jones does. Much
playing
more.
At left tackle.
Yeah. I would still want him as my left tackle, so that's how I'm going to proceed. I don't know what they're going to do, but that would be my choice. Thanks, Mike. I appreciate the call down in Jacksonville. Let's go to Brian in New Jersey. What's up, Brian? How are you?
Bob, enjoy the best sports weekend of the year here. This is always the one that has the most things going on that for my money. You know, CBS wants that hopes that Tiger posts a -3 or -4 and is mathematically in play tomorrow. I'm sure that's like what if they could wish on anything, that's what it would be. But anyway, so I got a weird take on the Pens here. I, of course, they managed to post another, what, they get 5 out of 6 points this week. But I feel like every game is an elimination game for them. I don't know why, but even tonight, I just feel like they lose and they're somehow going to be on the outside. So until they get to the last game against the Islanders, I don't know why. But have they said who's going to some goal yet?
Not yet. Or maybe they did. I don't know. I haven't checked. So normally.
I think they put Jari in there. I don't think Sullivan will do it. The reason why, and I know Jari's played terrible, you know, the last month or whatever, I've seen him battle the Bruins. Something about, I don't know if it's Marchand or Pasternak or something, I've seen him put up fights against them. So I actually think he fits this game the best. And Nedeljkovic, I mean, he's obviously a battler. He's done great. After not only Carlson, but Letang put two in his own net the other night. They both were one goal for, two goals against. For some reason, he's getting beat clean on, like, breakaways, which they give up a ton. He just looks tired to me. I just feel like they need to give him a day or something like that. Or at least, you know, put Jari in the first period, and if they're down two, maybe make the
switch.
Well, like
Seth Rohrbaugh, our friend at the Trib, just said that it's going to be Nedeljkovic tonight. So they're going to continue to ride
Sullivan,
him.
That's Sullivan, that's Jeff Carter, that's Chad Ruedel, that's keep the same guy in no matter what. I don't know. I really want that last game to be for third place or sixth seed or whatever it is, or eighth seed or sixth seed, as it turns out to be, in the conference on the island. I mean, we know how the Islanders torture them. You know, they got guys who never score two goals against the Pens on the Isles. Like, it's crazy,
well,
but it's just been like that for decades.
That's true, and you got guys like Kyle Palmieri who are just sitting there waiting to score them. Brock Nelson is another guy who's been
Brock
able to.
Brock Nelson scores six goals a year, three of them are against the Pens. You know what I mean? Like, there's something about.
Well, listen, I'll say this about Nedeljkovic. Even though he gave up five the other night, and again, I thought they were very sloppy in the third period when they ran. That's the one thing they do.
But he played in a month.
But he made a save in overtime on Dylan Larkin that could have won the game. That was a big save.
It was a huge save. And, I mean, the reality that they even got the puck in overtime is almost a miracle at this point. That's what everyone's asking, why are they terrible in three-on-threes? They don't practice enough. That's part of it. But they're the oldest team, you know, like – they run out of gas. They were getting they had circle skated around them for two periods that game, at least. Like, they're lucky that they were, like, the 2017 counter-punching team. Every time they got a chance, it went in. Like, there's no way they'd score five goals if that didn't happen.
You know, Brian, in that game, Nedeljkovic outperformed Lyon, even though it's hard to say that when it scores 6-5, but he could have frozen the puck before Sidney Crosby got it free and fed in the slot to Carlson.
I know.
And he didn't.
He's a bad goalie. You know, that's you need that. But I don't know. I still think the Flyers are done. The Caps are on gas. I don't see them getting there. Detroit, I mean, the Pens control their destiny. But for some reason, you know, everyone's assuming they're going to beat the Islanders in Nashville. I don't know why you're assuming that. You know what I mean? Like, maybe Nashville is the easiest of the three games. But don't assume they're going to beat the Islanders to get it. That is poison.
I hear you. I hear you. Brian, thanks for the call. As always, appreciate it. Dan in Columbus, hang on. Bob in Mount Lebanon, hang on. We're going to get to you very quickly here on the Bob Pompiani Show. If we're due for a break, I want to remind you that 93.7 The Fan and the Pittsburgh Pirates want to visit your teams in action for our Youth Baseball and Softball Showcase. Parents and coaches, send an email to youthsports@937thefan.com. Register your 12 and under team. 93.7 The Fan may stop and make a visit to your field. Details at 937thefan.com. Brought to you by Century 21 Fairways Real Estate. Back with Dan, Bob, and more right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. We're back and welcome back. It's 412-928-9370 as we have a lot going on today. It's a hockey night in Pittsburgh, Penguins and Bruins. Bruins still looking for the number one seed if they can get it and trying to fend off the Florida Panthers, who are hot on their heels, so they have plenty to play for. Alex Nedeljkovic will be in goal for the 11th straight game, just announced by head coach Mike Sullivan, so he is riding that wave, and hopefully that'll continue for the Penguins. They have two games against, three at this point against all playoff teams, Boston, Nashville on Monday night, and that's a very good team as well, and then the finale at this point against the Islanders, who are third in the Metro. They take on the Rangers today. So a lot going on. We'll have the weather for you coming up. In the meantime, back to the lines we go, beginning with Dan in Columbus, Ohio. Hello, Dan.
Hey, Bob. How are you today?
Great. How are you?
I'm doing great. Hey, Bob, I have a Penguins question for you, but before I get into it, just I feel like I owe you an overdue apology. I'm not sure if you remember during the 09 Cup run, you had a group of hooligans calling into the nightly sports call having to do with the Rob Scuderi fan club. Do you remember that?
I certainly do. Are you
okay.
one of them?
I was kind of like the ringleader of that whole group, and now I have aged. I have matured, Bob, and I just want to apologize. That was so stupid. You're a sports Pittsburgh legend, so
sorry. You know what? That's what happens when you're younger. You do things, and then as you get, first of all, this is what I've noticed, Dan, about getting older. You don't care about the stuff that you used to once care for. You know what I mean? You just let it roll off your back. It happens. So I'm sure you've gotten to that point now too. None of the stuff you used to think was cool is maybe not so cool anymore.
I will say this, Bob. I wish we still had Scuderi whenever we have the lead, because that leads into my question for you. It's been maddening watching the Penguins over the last couple of years, because it seems like a couple of things. Anytime they get, you know, a lead, couple goal lead, or like right before the end of periods after they get a goal, it's like the same. It's like the Twilight Zone. They give up that goal right before the period ends. They never go to a more conservative game. Is that more coaching, in your opinion? Because I would find it hard to believe that Sullivan's not telling them to adjust.
No.
Or do you think that's more in the players just doing what they want?
I think it's the players who are on the ice at the time. And their DNA suggests that they're always kind of putting the pedal to the metal when at times you got to pump the brakes, you know. They scored the other night, Detroit, with 13 seconds left in the second. Or first, and then 38 seconds left in the second. Not to mention two late goals to tie it up. And it would have denied them of a precious point. All because they were careless in how they did things. And, yeah, I can't think that Mike Sullivan and his staff tell them to continue to play. You know, when opportunities present themselves, you have to, you know, kind of gauge the responsibility of the moment. And if you want to pinch, it has to be knowing that you have some help behind you. A lot of times, the pinching happens and you're naked on the other side of it. And if you do that, especially late against a team like the Red Wings, they got enough talent, they'll come at you. And I think we saw that on display. And you're right. You need a more defensive-minded approach, which is why I'm so encouraged. I don't know about you, but watching, you know, Jack St. Ivany and Ryan Shea, both guys who've been kind of thrust into this at a critical time of the season, and they're both playing really responsible hockey.
Yeah, I think it's been obvious that getting some young blood up, some different mindsets, I think has really juiced up the team, kind of similar to whenever they made the previous cup runs. I know that Sullivan is also kind of resistant to bringing up the young guys, but I'm so happy that they have, because I think it's given them an angle that they haven't really had. And also, I think that Bunting brings a little bit of a different game as well that they haven't had for a while that they're benefiting from.
I agree.
Nice.
You know, Gensel's a nice fit that's a good trade for both so far. We'll see what those young guys who they acquired will do down the road, but Bunting gives them a different dimension, yes, and I think he's been effective on the second line with Malkin, so all of that's good. Dan, I appreciate the mea culpa here. Thanks.
Of course, Bob. Have a good one.
All right, you do the same. Let's go out to the counselor in the car who wants to talk some hockey. What's up, counselor?
Hi, Bob. How are you?
I'm good. What's up?
Listen, well, I know it can't be done, but that's what Erik Karlsson did, leaving the front of that net and then pinching to cost them the two goals. I know they can't do it, but that's enough for me, and that's not the only instance of his lack of responsibility, that I would not want him back next year. I know they can't get rid of him because he's got a no trade, but that's just the tip of the iceberg as far as I'm concerned with him.
Sort of like Letang in that you're going to get the good moments and the bad moments, and sometimes you get them in the same period, the same game. You know, I mean, his elite status can do things for you that others can't, but also his willingness to pinch at times where it's really not in his best interest to do so gets him into trouble. So it's the good and the bad. You see it with Malkin at times, although I think he's gotten better in that regard as this season has moved on. So it's in their DNA to play that way. Mike Sullivan, I'm sure, tries to control it at certain times by putting games away. When you don't see it, it's a frustrating part of it, but I don't think there's any shot of him not being here next year. And I also think Ryan Graves will be better next year. That's not saying much because he hasn't been good for the most part. He got a long contract, and he's also out with a concussion.
Well, like I said, Letang has finally learned that lesson. That took a long while, too, but I don't know that I want to go through Karlsson learning that lesson, too.
Well, I mean, Karlsson's played on a lot of bad teams in his career, and I think he's forced to play a certain way because they've been so bad. So, you know, I understand. I think he needs to know it. There are a couple of times he made some really good defensive plays coming back on speedy Detroit wingers where he got back into the play when you thought maybe they had an advantage. So there's good, there's bad. That's the way you got to – but you just got to know the responsibility that comes with the timing of games. Thanks, Counselor. I appreciate it. I think those are good points. And certainly Erik Karlsson needs to be more responsible in those situations at 412-928-9370. Let's go out to Bob, who joins us in Mount Lebanon. Hello, Bob.
Hi, Bob. Great show as always. Happy birthday to you, Bob, and many more to come.
Thank you. I wish I could go backwards, Bob, from the other, you know. Just
Two comments, Bob, regarding the Steelers draft and the Pirates. So regarding the draft, when you move Broderick Jones to left tackle, I think the first pick got to be a tackle. I think Mims from Georgia, 6'7", 340, he's a natural-born right tackle. And as far as center, Powers Johnson has been playing center for 1 year at Oregon. He's a converted tackle. Graham Barton is a converted tackle at Duke. He's played center for 1 year. Zach Frazier has been playing center since high school. I think you go to Mims in the first round, Zach Frazier in the second round. I think Frazier will be there at 51. And regarding the Pirates, Bob, I appreciate what McCutchen did for this franchise in 13, 14, and 15. But he's 37, soon to be 37 years old, Bob. He's hitting a buck 50, looks at strikes out. He looks at called strikes with the runners on base. You know, I don't know what his role is here. He's waiting to hit number 300, but he's a liability. You can go with other players, and I'm sorry to say it, but it might be time to get on with his life's work, Bob.
Well, I think this will be his last season. I do. I just think the numbers suggest that maybe it's at the end of the line, but he's still a very big influence on that locker room. Yeah, he needs the one home run, but he's had two in his past 200 at-bats if you go back to last year. That's it, and he's not hitting very well. The slugging percentage is bad. Slow start, yes. It's only 14 games. We'll see, but I don't think you'll see a heavy dose of him at any point. And I think once this season is over, he'll probably consider that option you speak of. So, but you know, obviously, if he had, I thought it would have been interesting if he had gotten 300 home runs last year. Would he have been back this year? I don't know if that would have been the case. But thanks, Bob, for the call. I'm up against a break here, Dave in Johnstown. You're coming up next. In the meantime, I want to tell you about Fan Weather, which is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Sun Chevrolet says the spring is here and so are the deals. Check them out at sunchevy.com. Today you got windy, warmer, still winds around, high of 59. Look for the rivers to continue to rise in the wake of all that heavy rain. Tonight, partly cloudy, low of 45. Tomorrow, windy at times once again, and there's a possibility of a heavy thunderstorm late in the afternoon. Thunderstorms could bring more of those damaging winds, so check it out. The high is going to zoom all the way up to 75 degrees. That's your Fan Weather. When we come back, more calls until 1 o'clock. This is the Bob Pompeiani Show, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.